Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Yes, you once again have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what this thing is all about. Can't do this thing by ourselves. We need the guidance and the experience from other men that receive it or have received it from our Lord. And they, in turn, encourage others. That's what this thing is all about. You know, that's what our topic is about today. We're going to be talking about why is it that some of us are not so willing to ask for help, if at all. And second, why are some of us not reaching out to those who are they look like they're in need. They're there for a reason in your life. Why is it that we hold back? Are we too busy? Do we just have other things? Are we thinking about ourselves more than we're thinking about others? Ooh. It's not about conviction. It's not about saying that, hey, we're up here on the top of the hill pointing, looking down at you guys. But no, we need to talk about this sort of thing because these are the things that are important in this relationship, in this coming to know Christ even more and being obedient to his word. So anyway, in the studio with me today to help deal and come up with all the answers, because he's got them, or he has some answers. It may not be the right ones, right? We all have answers,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
These may not be the right ones. But anyway, Duke is in the house with me. Good to have you, bro.
It is good to be here once again. Thank you.
And, you know, so I just told the guys what the topic is all about. We always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement. And you had your the Band of Brothers last night down in the county south of us here, which, by the way, a lot of you guys may not know this, but Duke has a full-time job that he does. And he has another full-time job at home and horses and men that live on his property and stuff. And then he has another full-time job of ministering to men for Christ. But he's the director of Band of Brothers for Christ down in the county south of us at a church known as Mount Vernon Christ the King. And
Well, we're covering two counties at least.
Yeah, we're covering two of them anyway. So any encouragement from things that came about last night?
Yes, I do. I was encouraged by a man sharing a testimony a few days ago. And then he spoke at Band of Brothers and shared a larger testimony. But what struck me most about this guy that encouraged me was he admitted in our conversation of kind of how we've grown through our walks that he had, that one of the breakthroughs he had was praying with his wife.
Oh, wow.
And,
cool.
And I got to tell you, that's, of course, we've talked about that, and that's one of the most powerful things that I think that I engaged in to grow my relationship. But really what the conversation went around wasn't so much all the floodgates that are opened by praying with your wife and what all that means. That's a whole nother show. But what we talked about was why did we wait so long? What was that? What kept us? I mean, I was seeking God. We were going to church together, and we'd pray in the pews, and we'd pray before dinner, but my wife and I didn't pray together. Mm-hmm. And I guess the encouragement there is, Raul, is that both of us just agreed that there was a point in which we decided that it was more important to overcome that fear, whatever that mysterious fear was, than to keep thinking about how fearful it was.
Yes.
And so there's the encouragement, brothers. It's so good to hear when another man has made a discovery that maybe you think you've made on your own, that it's just like, oh, yeah, I get it. I totally share this guy's joy.
Yeah. You know, there's something about the fact that we aren't aware of certain things to do, and we sometimes look at our own lives as, you know, I'm doing everything that I'm doing it better now, you know, the Lord's in the midst of it and everything. But sometimes we continue doing the same things we were doing before. And once again, the awarenesses that take place, whether it's something that we hear from the pulpit, or if you're part of a ministry, you end up hearing from one of the speakers or one of the encouragers or that are there, bring up these topics. That's why we do what we do, even on this radio show. Guys who are sitting there just heard your encouragement about, wow, praying with your wife. And that has probably been instrumental in your relationship with each other and how you wait on the Lord together rather than just praying yourselves and not saying anything other than at times when you decide to discuss it. And that's usually at the time when things are really heated up, right?
Oh, that's why this was so huge and such an encouragement, because I've waded through those deep weeds.
Yeah.
And I can say without a shadow of a doubt that once you get past that mystery of why you can't and you mm-hmm. do, mm-hmm. All kinds of, God just shows you all kinds of things. A lot of encouragement.
Well, see, and that's an encouragement right there. That's the reminds those who are listening that there is hope in Christ, that the things that are taking place, this isn't as good as it gets right now. Mm. It's going to get even better. You know, it's going to get even better. Yeah. As long as we're willing to submit and to seek him out. You know, he talks about in Deuteronomy, they talk about it, where this to seek the Lord, just like it says in Jeremiah. All right, Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you and a purpose for your life. Not to harm you, not to hurt you, but if you seek me with everything that you have, then I will give you what you need. That's my little, how I say it, my little ad lib, yeah, in a sense. But that's really what it comes down to it. But in seeking the Lord, that's the key. Now, when it comes to prayer with our wives, we're to seek the Lord with our wife.
Amen.
With our family, with our children. Let them be able to learn how to do this sort of thing so that they may continue to seek the Lord in their quiet time or their time with the Lord. So that they know that, hey, you know what? He will reveal more of who he is to us. And when that happens, that's when all of a sudden you start getting all the praise reports from everybody. Say, hey, you're not going to believe what just took place today. And anyway, so there's some encouragement. Well, let's segue right into this deal that we're talking about. You had brought this up because you had a reason and a purpose.
Yeah, and I usually do. As I go through my walk and exchange conversation experience with different men, God reveals different things, and that's the deal. That's the walk. So oftentimes, one of the topics that I want to share or talk about on the show is this real life experience. And I was kind of taken a little bit back by meeting with a brother just the other day, and this is a guy that deals with some significant disability, and yet he still shows up to church. Shows up. He's on a worship team and some other things. So here's a guy that's kind of active, engaged in the church, and seems like he's, as you said earlier, seeking. Mm-hmm. He's there. He's in the game, you know, kind of thing. Well, as I got to talking with him about how he overcomes his disability, where strengths come from, and how he sustains and things like that, because that's we all want to know that. Yes. What kind of bullet you got in your gun, yes. Brother? This is good. I don't know that I could be as strong or faithful with a disability. You know, some guys have just staggering physical or mental disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And what took me back was the mystery that reared its head once again, where he admitted that he did not have any close man friends. He wasn't in discipleship, which right. we know is an agenda of teaching and learning and what right. Jesus had in store for us and all that. Then there's the fellowship. He's fellowshipping. He's reading the Word. He's showing up, he's participating, and this guy's like on his own island.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart. Yeah. And I thought, why does this mystery exist?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And why doesn't it exist with me anymore?
Well, usually, you know, I got to tell you, when it comes to everyone says that everyone has a different personality. And yes, we all have different personalities. And some say, okay, you have this A personality, the outgoing type of individual that's not afraid to talk and reach out to people and meet them and so on and so forth. Then you have the other personality that just says, I don't really want to be a part of that. When I'm around people, I get drained, and I'd rather not, because work is tough enough for me to just do what I have to do around people. And I get that, and we go there. But this is not about psychology. This is about fixing a mindset, in a sense. I think a lot of it is that understanding that there's usually a lot of challenges as to why we are the way we are. And it has to do with our own experiences, our personal experiences, and everything from the time as far back as we can remember growing up, things that were either said to us or done to us or that we applied in our lives or we shared with others, and may not necessarily have been good things, but there were probably some good things. Those are the good memories that we always try to think of. But we have things that sometimes were not beneficial for us, or we didn't think at the time that it was. And it was maybe something that harmed us or got us to think negatively, whether about life or about ourselves or about other people, whatever that might have been. And the key is we end up coming to Christ somewhere down the road, okay? And not that all of a sudden that changes everything, but we become aware of that sort of thing. Become aware of the fact that, okay, you know, I don't like being around people. Men don't like to have to hang out with a lot of other people, period, okay, no matter what. Doesn't mean that they are diss it completely. But men are created to do one thing, to help populate the earth, okay?
Okay.
To actually take care of what God has given you.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And to provide for it. You're to be the worker bee. You're the provider. You're actually to be a teacher, okay? And be able to make everything secure for those in your family. Okay, and as a result of that, we end up, so men go from point A to point Z of the straight line. This is what I need to go. Just get that.
That's taken the preference.
Care.
That's yes,
it.
Sir.
Okay. With the females, they think they're from Venus, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're from Mars, right? And so they do things a little bit differently. They go not from point A to point Z, but they go all over the place in between to get there to try to take care of everything, because that's what they do. They're like an incubator. They actually make life, okay? They give life to the children. God created them in such a manner to receive the seed from the man, and then all of a sudden a child is born within them, and they have this motherly instinct where you and I, we can't understand that. And
no.
We're glad that we don't.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
In a sense.
Yes, yes.
But my point being is that two different things here. A lot of times we look at the women and say, look at that. They all get together. They just talk and talk and talk, and everybody likes everybody and so on and so forth. Men, you bring them into a room together. Everyone just stands there and looks at each other. You're looking for a guy that might, you know, you can find something that you can relate with. Guys, is there anybody here that I know? Does that guy have a John Deere hat on? Because I like John Deere. I want to talk about it. And that's the key right there for men, is having a common denominator, okay? Now, most of the time, there's never an absolute when it comes to people. You can't say all men are like this because they're exceptions. We're exceptions to the rule.
But you could say like guys that engage in sports or.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the majority of time, men are, they think of it like you have a bunch of alpha dogs that you've raised or you're raising, right?
Okay.
They all want to take the lead. They don't want the other ones to tell them what to do or where to stay. They want to do whatever they want to do. They may not want the lead,
True.
But just don't tell me what you want me to do.
Yes.
Don't try to put me in a box here, in a sense. And so when that takes place, all of a sudden, there's reason for that. The guys are quiet. They'll give them a little bit of information. Hi, my name is this, and I live over there, but I don't. Why are you asking me so many questions, you know, type of thing, you know? I don't know you that well, and I don't know if I want to know you. Because we're part of that protective, though. Because of things that have the way we were raised, the way that things have happened in our life, I want to be a little cautious here, but, you know, I'm going to be friendly, too. My point being is that the common denominator, when we can find out what that is between men, all of a sudden there becomes a little bit of a trust that is poured over, in a sense, where you start to believe that, oh, maybe something here might be able to take place. I understand. I'm going to listen a little more what this guy has to say. And how do we get to that place? Well, what it has to come down to is that, one, is that, and for the women who are listening, they're saying, how do I get my husband to go to the men's deals and so on and so forth? Maybe there's no men's deal at their church. Who knows? But the fact is, of just getting engaged with other men, it's about hearing something that, again, that you can say, hey, I can relate with that. Because here's the deal. Most of the time, I think that nobody has been through what I've been through.
Yes.
And they're not going to understand.
And the last thing I don't even want to tell them anyway.
Exactly. The last thing I want to do is tell them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are the things that usually end up taking place. So that's why in the ministry that we both kind of take care of and shepherd, we remind guys, we give them, say, hey, listen, man, we're glad that you're here, but we want you to give it three times. Come three times, you know, to see what this is like. Don't go judging the whole thing just by the very first time and the men by the very first time you're here. Give it three times and see how this, then let's talk about that sort of thing. What ends up taking place somewhere along the line, I believe that the Holy Spirit that's working in us wants us to be happy, joyous, and free, and to be able to be obedient to Christ, right? To be followers of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to open doors at certain situations that men are taking that risk of coming to something, okay? And even meeting with another guy to have coffee or something. That's a risk in itself.
It is. It's a huge risk. That's why this topic is so germane to the label I keep putting on it, which is this mystery, the mystery of not praying with my wife when there's all this huge benefit, the mystery of not having that cup of coffee or going to church or being part of a worship team and never really saying, hey, do you want to watch the game together? Or, hey, do you want to? I don't understand that, but I do. And you're right. Women are much more relational.
Yes.
Easier to strike up conversations.
Yes.
It's like the awkwardness when you're describing this. I'm thinking of times I've been driving in the car with a man.
Yeah.
And I won't even say a buddy, just maybe somebody I know.
Yep.
And you don't talk.
Yeah.
You just drive for a long time, but yet you feel like almost like you should or you need
right,
to.
Right.
I'll tell you what, brothers, and I'll tell you what, listeners, the conversations that I have found that are not awkward, that are easy to start up with, are the ones about God.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a buddy that isn't a believer,
yeah,
it's still a healthy topic that never has to end
that's right
poorly. So,
that's right.
But we just don't seem to. Here's this brother I've got right now that, and I'm wondering, Lord, how can I somehow influence this difficulty that guys have?
Well, see, you know that
it's like a guy drowning, Raul. I throw him the life ring.
Sure.
He put his arm around the life ring, but he's still out in the water.
Yeah.
Nobody's hoisted him aboard yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're like one foot in, one foot out.
Well, we only know what we know. Right?
Amen.
I mean, seriously. I remember, this is no kidding, I remember having, we were camping or something somewhere, I can't remember where it was at, and there was an outhouse. Okay, that's where it had to be used. And one of the kids said, when they went in there, I think something's broken in there because it stinks. It's not like their bathroom at home, right?
Right, right, right.
Because it stinks. I think it's plugged up. And it's funny because, see, he doesn't know that this is just a hole in the ground.
Yes.
He thinks that there's, like at home, that it should be able to flush and it goes away. It doesn't smell like that in my bathroom at home, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't know any different. Now, if you told him, there's no pipe there. It doesn't go anywhere. And even in our world today, kids don't know, hey, you go to the bathroom, where does it go?
Yeah.
I mean, some don't even ask.
Yeah.
Oh. They just figure it's not my problem.
No, it disintegrates somewhere.
But they don't know about it, right?
Yes.
But
yes.
When they start to find out about it, they go, wow, I didn't realize this. And then they go even a step further and realize they go underground, they can see these pipes that, anyway, and it's like, wow, I didn't realize this. It's the same thing it's just an awakening. An awakening to a reality that is in our lives that we never even noticed or even think about, okay? Same thing that takes place with
you. Mean I've got a different
Jesus.
Place for my poop to go than I thought. I mean, what? This
believe
is
it,
stick
believe,
in some
believe
guys.
Or not, believe it or not, it all goes down to the same spot. Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
but we all have it, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue talking. I'm going to kick off with a verse out of the book of James when we come back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. What? That's a good song. That's fairly new. That's seventh time, whatever. That's a good song. Anyway, I didn't do any favors by trying to I didn't even get their name out correctly. But here's the verse I wanted to talk about. In the book of James, when it talks about, well, let me just read the verse first. James chapter 5, and it's verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that they may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Okay? So here James is talking about that we come together, okay? We confess our sins to one another, okay?
Okay.
And then we pray so that there would be a healing. See, that is a fellowship. That is gathering. That is what we're called to do as believers, okay? This is what we call men to do on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night, that we gather together, like-mindedness. Our like-minded, what is our common denominator? Jesus Christ, okay? But you want to get to know more about what that individual is? Well, you need to keep coming back. See, when we want to know something about somebody, you have to ask questions, and you have to be willing to listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
And then the more you understand or hear them, sometimes you're surprised that, wow, that's the way I was raised. I was raised in a household just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, yeah, I didn't have any sisters. I just had a brother, just like you. So you might see all of a sudden there's some common denominators there that help me to realize that, oh, maybe you do understand a little bit. And then here's where, this is why it talks about in the book of Revelation, where it says that the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies, okay, was what defeats the enemy, all right? When somebody shares their testimony and they witness that to the rest of us, you've heard it.
Oh, yes.
You've heard a guy speak, and all of a sudden, man, that's my story.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened to me. And I thought and when we hear that sort of thing, all of a sudden we're just in awe, saying, I thought I was the only one. Maybe I thought there were others, but I didn't think there, you know, this guy would be one of them.
Or that many.
Or that, yeah, exactly. Then after you get to more, you realize that, wow, I'm not the only one that has this problem. You know, there are other men that feel the same way and act the same way and have done the same things. There's a way out to this. Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. See, same as what the kid is, that they didn't realize that there's, you know, pipes, and this is where the stuff goes. It's not just stuck there, okay? There's always more to the story. There's always more to the story. But we have to be willing to ask. Now, there's
a key, what you just said.
Here's the challenge that takes place. And that's where we sit there. We can't make anyone listen. We can't make anyone do anything. All we can do is suggest. But here's what I think the biggest thing is that we can do for anybody,
yes.
and that's praying for them.
Amen. Amen.
Prayer works, and that alone will eventually, I'm telling you, the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Or, as it says here, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Hello? It has great power. So when we can pray for those men who aren't hearing what the Lord wants them to hear, Lord, give them ears to hear. Give us the words and give us the demeanor. Give us the personalities to be able to come up and to talk with these men. Give them the desire to think of others more highly than themselves. And these are the things that we're all called to do. This is what the word says. But it's not about slamming men between the eyes with this sort of thing. Here's the deal. It begins with the leader. It begins with us being able to say, listen, I have failed in areas, man. I have failed in areas. When we show our weaknesses, okay, and where we need more of God's strength and direction and guidance, all of a sudden, and I say, this is where I need to go, and I'm willing to be transparent and share that with others, guess what? They're going to say, man, you know what? I'm going to pray for him because he needs more. You know, and that's what you're asking for. Hey, pray for me. And as you're praying for me, pray for those that are, you know, you know what? Guys don't need to get the big crayons out on this one here. You realize after a while that it's just a matter of if I'm praying for you and you're asking for prayer, then man, I need prayer too. Okay?
Yes. Well, you know, as we want to fix things, one analogy that I shared with you a little bit ago was, and I'm referring to this guy because some of the listeners are this guy, is this guy, mm-hmm. was this guy. But it's kind of like at some point in this guy's life, somebody threw him a life ring. He was out in the water overboard, and he did put his arm through the center hole and grab onto it so he could float. Mm-hmm. He kind of got the idea that that's better than drowning, okay? Mm-hmm. But he has never really allowed anybody to hoist him up in the boat. He's part of that recovery process, but he isn't there yet. So something you just said about praying here, I'm struggling with what can I do to help because that's my heart, because I've been where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
And I did pray for him. And, you know, you just hit on something, Raul, that is so important for guys to share that it's not up to me. And I've got to give it to God's will and his power to minister to it. So, you know, in this guy's case, when I learned that he really didn't have a man that he could lock arm, he didn't have a foxhole buddy. He just, I'm not sure why. He didn't ask. Nobody asked him, whatever it was. I did pray, mm-hmm. as I do each time. And, you know, as you're saying that, I remember praying mm-hmm. that, Lord, put someone or men or whatever it is in this man's life in such a way that that allows him to grow past some of the struggles he's having right now. You know, it's kind of a general prayer that you want to embrace anyway, but it just struck me that's what's got to happen.
And it really does. People learn from watching others do things, okay? I mean, we can read a book about how to shoot a basketball. Okay, but unless you have a basketball and a hoop to practice or to try that, you're not going to know what that's like.
What a great analogy.
That's like trying to learn how to play tennis by reading a book. But until you get a racket and a tennis ball and a net, you know, you're not going to have any idea about how to really do it, how it feels. Now, when you experience that, you go, wow, that is great. This is what it's all about. You know, I understand now what they're talking about. I know that feeling. That's why when some guys, I use the analogy when I'm talking about muscle memory, in a sense. Muscle memory is used in a lot of athletics and a lot of other things, too. You can remember, I mean, now you work on vehicles and everything. You know that of a certain vehicle that there's a certain nut on the other side. You can't see it, but you know how to unscrew that by not even having your eyes on it.
Amen.
Because you've done it before. So it's kind of like muscle memory. You remember this is how I've got to do that sort of thing. Okay. In golf, you know, I can hit 1,700 lousy shots. I hit one good one, and I'm going, oh, that's what keeps me coming back. But that's what I want to remember is how it felt when I did that, okay? Because when the swing and the flow and the tempo and everything else that goes with it, you know, it's not thinking so much. It's about just remembering, in a sense, how the body felt and reacted. Now, if I can do that more often like that, wow, that felt good. I got to do another one like that right now. And then you try. And anyway, my point being is that the more often that we end up attempting to do something, more is revealed to us. And then all of a sudden it becomes a desire, okay? I mean, how many of us have been told before, I pray that you desire to know me more.
Yes.
The Lord, to seek me out with everything that you have. And why? Because you want these promises. You want to be able to live in a life that maybe you are healed or someone is healed as a result of your prayers, that you become a righteous man. I want those promises to be able to help.
Well, and I think that's at our core. I think one of the reasons that you and I, we know other men that have a passion is because it is good. We we find ourselves feeling happier, living more abundantly, being more energetic, having healthier relationships, all that stuff. And that, I got to tell you, Earl, that's part of what went out, my heart went out to this guy. And I'll tell you, too, I started seeing, kind of inventorying, there are other men that I know that I'm wondering if they're doing such a good job at playing the game that really, they're just torn up inside. Here's a guy that was torn up inside. I had no idea. And he didn't even project I'm torn up inside. He just matter-of-factly admitted he was on his own.
Yeah.
And that life was what it was. And it was kind of like put a period at the end of the sentence. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You just closed the door. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what's over that threshold.
Yeah.
So my heart went out to, as I think we're all our root, to want to help, do well, because especially if someone's done it for us.
Yeah. You know, we never get to that place of arriving to where we're so much better than everybody else. Our walk might be different than someone else. We may be in another arena in our relationship with Jesus Christ than other men. But we are still newbies, in a sense. You want to stay new. You want to stay green. You want to continue growing, okay, and seeking him. And actually, in a sense, becoming that light, that reflection of Jesus Christ, so that others would be attracted to it and say, I want to be like that.
Yes.
I want to be like that. So that's why when it comes down to it, I need to allow God to change my life. I need to trust in him even more. That, yes, I may think it doesn't apply to me, but it does apply to me. That how often have I neglected doing some of the things that someone did for me that I'm not doing for someone else, that I'm not really giving away what's been given to me freely, that I should be giving it away freely, you know? And these are basic principles that so often the world, again, is trying to lure us away from this relationship with Jesus Christ, of doing things that would make our lives opposite of what the enemy wants it to be, okay? And the enemy's going to do everything he can, including the things that he's done in our past that we haven't looked at or been willing to look at. So let's talk about that when we come back from this break, because we've got to at least honor our sponsors who help support this ministry on the air. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Every word you speak is the air I breathe.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. And, you know, we're talking about accountability. We're talking about being able to reach out to others and to actually respond to others who reach out to us. And so often there's something that impedes our moving forward in this arena or receiving it, and that's trust. Trust is something that's so huge in relationships. It is so important. You know, when we are by ourselves, we get, I used to be told that when you're by yourself, Raul, you're in bad company. And that's the way it used to be. I will say that. Today in my life, it's not so bad, not near as bad as what it used to be. Because I was in bad company. Because in my own head, so many things were taking place, and so many, I mean, I would be on a spiral, just heading out, so to speak.
Okay? Amen.
So what my point being is that when I have others that are in part of my life that know me, that are maybe concerned to, not a real depth, but just a concern of desiring to see that I no longer feel that bad. And all it requires is just a little attention. But my point being is that it's necessary. King David, when he was came out to the top of his temple and he looked down over everything and the deal with Bathsheba, he didn't have anybody around at that time that he could go to. Oh, he could have gone to somebody, but he decided not to. But if he had somebody that was a friend, they might have come over at that time or reminded him. Anyway, when we're by ourselves, we can make some pretty awkward or really rude decisions, right, based on what we want at that time.
Oh, we can even read Scripture and
justify,
turn it around to, yes, yes.
So anyway, so what we want to do is we want to follow what the Word reminds us. In the book of Proverbs, we have this on our wristbands. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. A lot of men's ministries throughout the world use that, okay? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That is what's necessary. Now, why do we need to be sharpened? Well, first and foremost, we need to realize, drink some coffee, wake up here, that we're in a battle. On a daily basis, we're in a battle. Yes, and it becomes tiresome, wearisome.
Especially if the sword's dull.
Yeah, exactly. And if we're trying to do this all by ourselves.
Yes.
You know, there's something about when you end up having somebody behind you. That's why so often you see the analogy where one guy's got their backs are to each other and they're looking the other. They can fight the foes that are coming
from any direction.
Any direction.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
And taking care of that sort of thing. And the more men that you have to do that with, the more men you have to help battle away the challenges that are taking place of knowing that there's hope and that there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. And when we're by ourselves, that's what the enemy is looking for. You know, First Peter talks about that he's out there in the high grass, you know, roaring, looking for somebody to devour.
Yes.
You know, the lions in Africa are not going to come into the herd of elephants, okay, because they know they'll get trampled and get thrown all over the place and be mutilated. But they wait for that weakened one or the little one to walk away or get away from the herd. Then that's when they take advantage of that, okay? So it's when we are away from everything where we know that there's security, or maybe we're not even aware of it, but there is security. Well, you say, well, God, there's a bunch of guys, and I don't want them to know everything about me. Well, you don't have to tell them anything. How about you just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you into being with these men who seem to want to know you even more? Because that's really what it comes down to, is that desire, is it there? Like the Lord says, all you need is the faith of the size of a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. And you can move this mountain, have it move from here to there into the ocean, whatever. The point being is that that's all we need. Just a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust.
One, it takes courage. I know that in my case, if men had not had the courage to reach out to me, I wouldn't have had examples to go by. So the encouragement, I guess, to a lot of these listeners today even is, no matter where you're at, if you're the guy that is not, let's say, very social and you haven't reached out, or you're the guy that was that guy like I was and said, you know what, I'm not going to allow this fear, I'm not going to allow the enemy to have this kind of foothold and keep me from doing what someone else did for me.
Yes.
There's this honorability in passing it along. And make no mistake, brothers, we are in a war, as you referred to, Raul. We oftentimes are deceived into believing that there isn't one.
Right.
And we listen to the enemy
right.
just enough where the enemy says, you're doing good. You're going to church. Hey, you even go to the men's group. Hey, you're part of the worship team. You're good. You read my word. Hey, mm-hmm. you know, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the enemy, knowing that this guy has not made that decision. He hasn't been able to armor up, and he's got some chinks in his armor.
But see, that's where the difference takes place. See, it's not about just believing in God, because the enemy believes in God.
Amen.
Okay? It's not about knowing the word. The enemy knows the word of God. He used that in tempting Jesus. Okay?
Yes.
The difference lies in applying the word of God
Amen.
Into your life. That's what it comes down to. So when I'm not applying it in my life, because if I am, I would be in fellowship. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the day is in capital D, the day when Jesus returns, okay?
Yes.
And it goes on and on to remind us even more. But my point being, he says, don't stop meeting this way. This is what we're to do, is to exhort each other, to encourage each other. Not to look at ourselves as failures when we sin and say, man, I messed up. I went and I did this and thinking that I'm going to be persecuted and condemned and judged by my brothers. No, that's where we actually are to be kind, and we bring them back to point them in that position of repentance, of actually coming back to Christ. You bring them back gently, as the Bible talks about, okay? Because each man is, get this, each one of you was known by our Lord. He created you specifically. And he knew that he was going to create you before the world was created. Let's not put our God in a box here, that all of a sudden you just happened by happenstance. No. He allowed your mother to conceive you. And that you're not a mistake. And that there is a purpose for your life. And you want to know what that purpose is? Well, go to the Creator. You want? It's no different, man. We get a table saw in the mail, and it's mailed to us. Somebody sends us a table saw, and I may not know anything about table saws. So, but what do? I go to the instructions and try to put it together.
And don't glance over them.
And if I have a question, it even has a phone number. Says if you have any
yes,
questions,
yes.
call this number.
Yes.
Okay, I call the number. Hey, I don't quite understand this. Wow, seriously. And then when you got that thing working, now it's taking care of the business that you wanted it to take care of, right?
Yes.
Same thing with our walk in our life here on this earth. We are not here just to enjoy as much as we can, get as big a piece of the pie as we can, or grab as many of those brass hoops as we can and die. That's not what it's about. It's about eternal life with Jesus Christ, who wants us to come to know him more so that we can give that on to others that are in our lives, our wives, our children, our family, our extended family, our co-workers, whether you like them or not, whether they're family or not, it does not matter. We're to love everybody. I can't do that. No. Yes, you can. God will do it through you. The Holy Spirit will work through you. And these are the encouragements that we need to hear, that you will hear when you gather together with other men. It could just be in a Bible study. It could start off as just coffee. It could be a couple guys getting together and getting into the Word of God. It's not about becoming legalistic. It's not saying that we're any better than anybody else. It's about realizing that we are not very strong when we're by ourselves. And when we find purpose in our lives, and that's why it's so important for us as leaders to be able to find what a man is good at doing. What's his spiritual gift? And then kind of put him in the realm of what that is and let him flourish. Let him flourish in that, you know. And, you keep up the boundaries and everything, but let him flourish in that. Because when a man finds purpose in something, then he's going to continue coming back. And he's going to desire to give it away to others and let them know, hey, you can find out how to get to the top of the tree where the good fruit is. But let me show you that path.
Yes.
Anyway, so this is a good topic. I didn't mean to rattle on this sort of thing, but I have.
No, as you're talking, all of familiar thoughts are coming back of where I was and where I am. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Would you pray for our brothers?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would strengthen men, that you would give them that courage to just reach out to that other man and just go have that cup of coffee or whatever and keep in prayer that your will is in the works there. And we thank you for this opportunity in your name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Brother, there is hope, and you're definitely not alone.